welcome all of you to worship on
this day when we observe All Saints Day. We remember those especially who have been called to their eternal home from this congregation and also who have entered God's church through holy baptism. And as a tradition at Emmanuel here in Sweet Springs, we remember the people who have gone before us from this congregation, and we have one funeral this past week that we'll recognize here at the beginning of the service. And then we'll join together in singing hymn number 525, and between each verse, we will read the names of the four children who were baptized here at Emmanuel throughout this past year. And we also have the combined choir with the members of Holy Cross here. We're welcome them to our worship this morning. They'll be leaving, I believe, after their singing, because they'll be going to Holy Cross to sing as well. So we'll just welcome them at the beginning of our service and appreciate their music with us today. And we'll follow the order of service on page 151. It'll be a little bit abbreviated. When we bring our sins to God and hear his good word of forgiveness, as we all celebrate the fact that we are the saints of God, both now and forever, because of Jesus Christ. And so we open our worship with a reading concerning the life of Lana Scott, who was laid to rest here at Emmanuel in Sweet Springs this past year. Lana Jo Scott, 56, of Concordia, Missouri, formerly of Sweet Springs, died Sunday, April 8th, 2018 at Good Shepherd Care Community in Concordia. Born February 11th, 1962 in Sweet Springs, she was the daughter of the late Harlan A. Giesecke and Lois Eckhoff Giesecke, who survives of Sweet Springs. Lana was brought into the kingdom of God in the waters of holy baptism on March 4th, 1962 by Reverend Ron Haupt. She was confirmed in that faith on May 1st, 1977 by Reverend Eugene Cruz. Lana was raised in Sweet Springs, where she was a 1981 graduate of Sweet Springs High School and a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. On August 23, 1986, she married Jeremy Lee Scott, who survives of the home. Lana spent her career as a certified nurse's aide and worked for over 19 years at Western Missouri Medical Center in Warrensburg, and was proud to have worked for our veterans at the Missouri Veterans Home also in Warrensburg. In addition to her husband Jerry and her mother Lois, she is survived by one daughter, Lindsay Jo Scott Shockley, two sisters, Rhonda Sullivan and her husband Stephen of rural Marshall, and Jill Gieselman and her husband Dave of Sweet Springs, as well as nieces and nephews. Lana's body was laid to rest on April 12, 2018 in Fairview Cemetery. It is in this place that Lana and all who have fallen asleep in Christ await the revelry of our Lord. And we begin with a triumphant Christian hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 525. And at the end of each verse, we will read the names of those individuals who were baptized and entered the saints of God for now and forever through this congregation. Keaton Anthony Cook was baptized into the family of God on February 18th, 2018, the child of John and Valerie Cook, and entered into the kingdom of the saints.
Amen.
Peterson. On February 27, 2018, was called into the kingdom of God and entered as one of God's saints, the child of Chris and Mallory Peterson. Elijah Robert Dickinson entered God's kingdom through holy baptism. On March 30th, 2018, the child of Chris and Jennifer Dickinson and entered into the kingdom of God's saints. Levi Wallace Meyer entered the kingdom of God on June 24th, 2018, the child of Mark and Beth Meyer, and entered into the kingdom of saints. And this blessing goes to all of those and to all of us who have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. I invite you to stand for the last verse of our hymn. Our sins to God and hear his good word of forgiveness, beginning on page 151. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated.
Be great. Still
Chow and the rest of you choir members, I understand you're going to go to Holy Cross now. So I'll have to give them kind of my sermon later, I suppose. But we do appreciate them coming here and sharing their music with us, especially you, Kurt. As they prepare to leave, our worship will continue by our scripture readings and listening to God's word. And on this day, as we also remember and observe what is called All Saints' Day, remembering all those who have died and gone to heaven before us, we look at the Old Testament reading this day from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the just decrees that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrew Christians in the very first days of the Christian church in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we stand for our Alleluia and verse. Listen to the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 37. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offering and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, 'How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. "So how is he his son?" And the great throng heard him gladly. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed together with the saints and the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we join together now in singing hymn number 670. You may be seated. We bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, your law is a light, but often I see it as a thing that keeps me from enjoying my life. But as I hear your word now, give me an understanding of your commandments as a wonderful gift and a helpful map for my life, that I will joyfully follow Christ as my Savior and Lord, gladly and willingly out of love for you and all your saints. Amen. First part of the gospel lesson for this day in Mark chapter 12, some people were discussing things among themselves and they came to Jesus as they often did, some of them wondering answers to their questions, others trying to get into an argument with him. And a man approached Jesus, one of the teachers of the law, Mark chapter 12 tells us, and he came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them some good answers, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." Now, if you don't know by now, there's an election coming up in a couple days. Maybe you've heard that. I was so excited yesterday, I got a phone call from Donald Trump. And I thought I would get into discussion with him, and I started talking, and he just kept going on and on and on. I got some calls from other candidates, too. Anybody get any mail? I've got lots of mail. I'm keeping it as a collection. One of the things about this country is we have a lot of laws. If you pay attention to your ballots this Tuesday, you're going to see that we might make some more laws. A brilliant legal expert in our nation has said that there are over millions of laws that have been passed since our country first stopped. That's a lot of laws that our Congress has passed. And in fact, the lawyer said that there's no one individual who can possibly know what all the laws really are. Today is an observance of All Saints Day, which in the church fell on November 1st. There's a lot of traditions about why that date was picked, but on November 1st, people in ancient times would get together and remember that all those who had died in their Christian family, who had died in faith, were living in heaven forever. I always imagine what it's like when I get to heaven. I think about that sometimes, and maybe you do too. That I will see my loved ones who have gone before me. That includes my mother and father. They both passed away some years ago. It includes my grandparents and my great-grandparents and the ones before them who I've only seen pictures of, but I don't know. It includes the apostles and Elijah and Moses and all the great men and women of the Bible. And I'll see them too. Here's something maybe you don't think about. While you're in heaven looking for those people, there might be somebody looking for you. Maybe my great-great-great-grandchildren will be looking for me. And they'll find me. I don't know. But when we see each other and when we recognize each other and we celebrate our family and our love for each other, I believe that we'll quickly turn our attention not from ourselves but to Jesus Christ. And we'll all be looking to him and celebrating our eternal life forever and ever with all the saints who have gone before us and all the saints here and all the saints in the future. What makes somebody a saint? Well, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that we are going to get statutes and commandments from God and we're going to love them. I kind of want to review the commandments or the idea of a commandment today. When I ask most people how many commandments they are, the quick answer is 10. But I want to take you back in time to Adam and Eve. God created them, and he gave them a life in the Garden of Eden. And how many commandments did they have? You ever thought about that? I wish I would have been them. They had one commandment. That seems easy enough, doesn't it? One simple commandment. There's one tree in the middle of the garden. You got this beautiful garden. There were probably millions of trees. They were all beautiful. There was one tree in the middle of the garden. God commanded them not to eat from the fruit of that tree. That's all they had to do. When I'm in heaven and I meet Adam and Eve, I'm going to say, what was wrong with you? You had one commandment, and you couldn't keep it. We know that Adam and Eve broke that commandment, and by breaking that commandment, they broke their relationship with God. And God said that one day one of my descendants, one of your descendants, will come and redeem your life and buy you back from the sin that you have committed here. From that time on, Adam and Eve realized that there were lots of other things that led them into sin. By the time the children of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt and had left, they understand there were a lot of things God expected of them. And God summarized them in the Ten Commandments that we think of that he gave to Moses. It was a summary of the commandments. And from those commandments, the people of Israel developed other commandments, grew out of those subsets of commandments. We believe that by the time Jesus was alive, the Jewish church had officially adopted 365 prohibitions and 245 positive commandments and 613 other official laws that were written down in books. They lined the shelves of the synagogues and the scriptoriums where the teachers of the law would study them. And from these commandments, hundreds of books were written called Targums. And they lined the shelves, and people would study them, and only the teachers of the law really knew what they all were. Experts in the details of church law, they studied and taught people the correct way to worship, the way to brush their teeth, the way to wash their hands, the way to wash their pots and pans. They developed all kinds of rules and regulations. And one of these teachers of the law came to Jesus in the gospel lesson. He had heard him debate and discuss God and his word and what God wanted people to do. And he came and he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The teacher probably expected Jesus to have to think about it for a while. Well, you know, they're all important. But Jesus didn't think about it. He didn't really pause. It says he immediately answered him. And I think it's important to hear that. He immediately answered him, the scripture says. He didn't wait and think about it. He didn't have a conference. He didn't get a committee together and come back in a week for an answer. He says, the most important one is this. And he quoted from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament lesson we read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And the teacher agrees that Jesus has answered well. You're right. Those things are more important than all the sacrifices we do. It's more important than anything else. If you really pay attention to the gospel lesson, Jesus said, you're not far from understanding the truth. That had to bother the teacher of the law a little bit because he thought that he had really met Jesus' mind right next to where Jesus was. And yet Jesus said, you're close, but you haven't quite got it yet. You've studied the law your whole life. You've read all those books. You've taught people. But you don't quite understand what God wants you to do yet. A little later, it says the teacher of the law left, and he was still a little bit perplexed and a little bit offended that Jesus didn't say, you know, yes, you're on the same page with me, because he wasn't on the same page with him. With a wave of his hand and a simple answer, Jesus kind of brushed away all those hundreds and thousands of laws that they had. What is Jesus trying to teach this teacher? And what is he trying to tell us about the law? And what's he trying to tell us about being saints? Because I can tell you that I believe I am a saint. But it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a pastor and I understand God's word better than everybody else, or I know the Ten Commandments by memory. I always do that at the beginning of every confirmation class. When I've been teaching confirmation class, I ask the kids if they think I know the books of the Bible and I think I know the commandments. And I demonstrate to them that I know the commandments and I know the books of the Bible and I've memorized these things. And then I ask the kids if they're smarter than I am. Because if they are, they should be able to do this too. And I want them to know the Ten Commandments, but I also want them to know something else about the commandments, the thing that the teacher of the law did not understand. That I'm a saint not because I know the Ten Commandments or I keep the Ten Commandments. Because what the teacher of the law was not quite getting was that he didn't keep any of those commandments. He didn't keep one commandment. He broke the law. He was a sinner who fell short of the glory of God. And he stood before God knowing all these laws, but he didn't recognize that the one thing he needed was forgiveness from the Lord God himself. And how could God do that? The epistle lesson we read explained it so simply, really, if you listen to it. It said, your life is perfect, and you are made a saint not because you kept laws or you made sacrifices or somebody else made sacrifices for you or the blood of goats that were sacrificed outside of the church on altars in the Old Testament times. You are made a saint because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because God himself sacrificed something for you. Because you couldn't keep one law, you're no better than Adam and Eve, much less all of the laws of God, the ten or the hundreds or the thousands of laws that God places in front of us and tells us how he wants us to be. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and only the blood of Jesus will make us perfect. He has to forgive our sins because we have broken the law. This is what the teacher of the law didn't understand. If Jesus had continued this conversation with the teacher of the law further, the teacher of the law would have said, well, I'm pretty good. I keep most of these laws. I'm a lot better than the rest of the people. Certainly a lot better than the people in this town or the people who are on the street. I know God's law and I keep most of them. He didn't understand that he was a sinner who needed the forgiveness that only God himself could give, and he was a sinner who only Jesus could forgive. You are forgiven sinners. It doesn't matter if there's one law or a million laws. You are a sinner who has been forgiven by Jesus. Of the one, the ten, the thousand, the million things that God counts against us because of our sin against him each and every day. We cannot be saints unless Jesus pays for our sins, pays for the laws we have broken. He paid for Adam and Eve's sin. He paid for the sins of all those who have gone before us, and that's why we call them saints, not because they were great people. In the obituary of a Christian, we don't recite all the wonderful things they did and say that they're saints because they were such good people. They're saints because Jesus' blood washed them clean. He took their dirty robes and he washed them and he placed a white robe on them. The book of Revelation describes all the saints as people in white robes who are perfect. John, in his vision of the revelation, asked Jesus in that vision, who are all these people in white robes? He goes, those are all the people who are washed clean of all their sins and are living in heaven. I always think if we would unpack some of that scripture, John seemed a little bit surprised. There's Mr. Smith. Why is he wearing a white robe? He was a scoundrel. There's Mrs. Jones. Why is she wearing a white robe? She was far from perfect. John was perplexed that all these people could be wearing white robes. And then he looked at himself and he saw that he had a white robe. And he said, I've put my perfect life on you and made you saints. You're going to live forever. And I give this all to you because I bought and paid for it with my blood. And you now can inherit everything from my heavenly Father because I did it for you. So what's left for Christians? Do we have any laws left? Did Jesus erase the law and we don't have to do anything anymore? Well, Jesus comes to us and he says, I've kind of brought everything full circle now because really there's only one commandment. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Do things out of love. Do things not because it's a law, not because the police are going to catch you or you're going to have to pay a fine. Don't do things because you're expected to do it or other people will think one way or another about you. Do them because you love each other. Keep God's law just because you want to. And then you will have fulfilled the only commandment that's important, to do things out of love for what Jesus Christ has done for you. One of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, is that we should keep the Sabbath day holy. We should sanctify the holy day. We kind of paraphrase that and say you should come to church on Sunday, which is true. It's a commandment. Are you here because it's a commandment? Why are you here? Are you here because somebody made you come? There were days when I was a kid that I came to church because my mom made me come. I laid in bed. I said, I don't want to go to church this morning. You have to go to church. I'd get up and I didn't want to, but I got to church dragged, kicking and screaming. Why am I in church today? Well, I'm in church because they asked me to be a vacancy pastor here at Sweet Springs, and I better show up or it'll be embarrassing. That's not why I'm here. That's not why I should be here. I should be here because I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I love my neighbor as myself. And I want other people to see that Jesus Christ is my God and Savior, and I want them to praise his name too. I should be here because I love to be here and I want to be here. But I confess that's not always how I feel. And yet, that's what God wants from us. Jesus has set us free from the curse of the law, from sin, death, and the power of the devil, so that we will be his saints. I was made a saint when I was baptized, and I was a baby, and I had no idea what was happening. God made me his saint. He washed me clean. He made me perfect. And now he gives me really one commandment. He says, go out and do things because you love me. That should be the one motivation for your life. We as sinners come here week after week to confess that that doesn't always motivate and drive us, but it should. And we come back here to realize that we're saints, not because we love perfectly, but because Christ loves us perfectly. And he continues to forgive us and renew us and give us a new life, the life that he gave us in our baptism when he made us saints, and the life that he's going to give us forever when we leave this earth and go to heaven. What a wonderful thing it is to have a God who gives us one commandment, just to love him because he loves us. And from that spring all the other commandments, which Martin Luther said aren't really commandments, but they're guides and maps for our life. They're things we want to do because God wants us to do them. My sainted father always said, if God tells us to do it, it's probably a good idea. And we should do it, not because God is ordering us to do it, because it's probably the best thing for our life. And that's really what God's word tells us. That's really what Jesus was telling this teacher of the law. You're worried about all the laws and all the rules and all the regulations? Love the Lord your God. Find a reason to love him. And you'll find that reason, Jesus says, in me, because I love you, and I am your God, and I give my life for you, and I raise my life and give it to you now and forever, so you can be a saint here and a saint in heaven forever. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we give thanks to God, and out of love to him, give him our offerings as a way to show our thankfulness to him. As we join our hearts and our voices in prayer to our God and prepare ourselves to receive the body and blood of Jesus together with the saints and the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, we also include in our prayers Ezekiel Ray Mills, who was born a couple weeks ago, and we ask God to be with him and his family as they grow up in the care and the teaching of God. We stand for prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your good word. It is law, it is gospel. Your law tells us that we need to love one another, and we need to do the things that you want us to do and live our lives as your creation, not because we have to or because we are threatened, but because we love you and that we know that you love us. Help us to keep that commandment, and in doing so, keep all of the commandments, the 10 and the hundreds and the thousands of things that you want us to be, not because we have to do them, but because we love you and we know that you want the best for us. Continue to make us joyful and excited saints who have been washed clean of our sins by the blood of Jesus and have been given a new life in our baptism, that we might continue to live for you and for one another and fulfill the one law that you want for us, to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. We ask you to be with our neighbors, our friends, our family, those who are going through difficult times, those who are going through challenges, those who are experiencing difficulties of decisions. Continue to be with all those in our thoughts and hearts, and we especially offer a prayer of thanks for the family of Ezekiel Ray Mills as they welcome him into their hearts and their home. Continue to watch over him and make him your saint by the blood of Jesus and all that he says and does. And now prepare us as we bring ourselves to your altar in great thanksgiving to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and to wash us clean and make us eternal saints with you. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament. It's on page 160 in your hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who has made us your saints, together with all those who have gone before us and all those who come after us, who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their God and their Savior and their Redeemer. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.